You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the noisy library of New Zealand music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
We're entering the Audio Culture zone and we're joined by special guest Gareth Shute. Is that the correct pronunciation? Yeah. Shute? Can you just stick the headphone, the jack, right into that microphone that you've got there, because it's a little bit, or I'll give you that one.
Hello? That one better?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
A bit of tech. Pulling back the curtain, show them what happens behind the scenes.
A little bit of behind the scenes at BFM. Now, Gareth, I don't know if you know this, but I was really excited when I was sent through this article, which is 10 Kiwis covering Kiwis, because on Plato's Retreat, the show that I do on Saturdays, we just did our we do it three times a year, roughly, our covers show, which is a show exclusively dedicated to some of the best and worst covers that we can find. And
excellent.
So we play, great covers of shit songs and shit covers of great songs. I mean, where do you stand on the whole covering thing? Because it can be a little bit controversial.
Yeah, well, for the Audio Culture article, I just wanted to show the history of it in New Zealand, especially like Kiwi acts covering other Kiwi acts. And I mean, these ones are mostly ones where they're done well, but some of them are quite odd choices. Like there's Down at the Hall on a Saturday Night, which is almost a joke Kiwiana one from the 60s, but that was it became so on the subconscious at the time, I guess, that 70s bands kind of did it in weird ways. Like they tried to reinvent it, but it's such a sticky, weird Kiwiana song, whereas there's other ones where it's just a matter of reinvention and just being fascinated with which bits of the song they pick out and how well they do it. Like the classic one, I guess, is obviously Mutton Bird's Nature, because Nature was like voted, well, it was quite a while ago now, but early 2000s it was voted the best New Zealand song, because I think in its first version in the 70s it seemed uncoverable, because it was this perfect kind of hippie era song with kind of acoustic guitars and sort of lush backing and stuff. And then the Mutton Birds redid it, and it was such a perfect indie song that it just sounded like it had always been an indie song. So I'm always impressed just to see what elements they pull out and how they recast the weird hippie backing vocals into real backing vocals, or like a twee sort of mandolin-y line into like fuzzy acoustic guitar. And yeah, I was just interested in how that works over time. I mean, I'd be interested in if listeners have favourite covers. I mean, it is quite a sign of kind of appreciation and respect when someone covers your song. Like I remember, Dave Dobbin, for example, at one of the Silver Scroll, one of the music awards, they wanted to honour him, and so they had three different artists doing his songs, including Scribe. And so it can be like a real honour. Though every year at the Silver Scroll Awards they have all those covers, which I haven't included in this because they're not recorded and released usually. But that's a thing where it can go really far out. Like, I mean, they have to get someone to cover the like sort of experimental song each year, or like the soundtrack song. And so some band has to do something that's pretty wildly different,
Yeah, I remember I was at the Silver Scrolls a few years ago and I saw the All Sing Hand doing a cover, and I can't even remember what the song was because it was incomprehensible to listen to, which I loved. I mean, for me, a cover has to bring its own flavour, because we hear so much, and I don't know about you, but I'm very fed up with like all of the new trailers that come out for new series. They all have a sort of like ambient indie kind of like ghostly cover of Tears for Fears or whatever. Yeah. I mean, and there's no shade on Tears for Fears, but I'm kind of like, if you're going to do it, give it some guts, like do something with it.
I mean, I did feel like that Lord cover of Tears for Fears was a little bit weak tea. I mean, it was still good because it was Lord, but it was like, didn't bring that much to it. Like, you've really got to have an idea. I think you're right that it's kind of like the musical equivalent of how movies kept being remade and they do like a new version of some TV show or something from the 90s. It's like the perfect thing for that. It's like, oh, we'll get a song from the 90s as well and someone can do a lame cover of it and it'll just like satisfy everyone. The young kids and the parents will be like streaming it up a storm and it'll just be like so insipid.
Yeah, because it's that kind of combination between nostalgia porn kind of a thing where you're like, oh my God, I remember this from when I was a teenager, but at the same time it's some kind of trendy artist. And I just find that whole thing, as you say, maybe insipid or even sinister, dare I say. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Silver Scroll Awards this year were, last year, I guess, were cool. The Vera Allen cover was a bit of a highlight of that show, I thought. But yeah, a few of the ones on my list on the Audio Culture website are that just classic, take a like acoustic song and just like crank it up to 10. Yeah. And but they are some of my favourites. I mean, the Split Ends one, What's the Matter With You, was originally, like, the lyrics are kind of angry, but it's weirdly, like, because they were a new wave band and the Eddie Rayner's keys were such a big thing, it's like, it's like that kind of speed. So when the Beths did it for the True Colours covers album, they just, like, did it pretty much twice the tempo, and it's so good. And you really feel the anger of the lyrics come across way more than the original, I thought.
I thought, we have a selection of 10 to choose from, and I thought maybe we'd play an absolute classic, and only because I haven't heard this for such a long time, but this is the Anchor Me cover that was done as a Greenpeace charity single, and I want to play it just because it has such an absolutely star-studded cast. You've got Kirsten Morrell from Golden Horse, you've got Shea Fu, you've got Andy Kamoa. I mean, it's just absolutely huge.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, that is a sign of respect for Mudden Birds that's the song they would pick. And because I guess Don McGlashan has such a history of getting behind causes, like in the 80s he did a Don't Go song with Chris Knox and Rick Bryant against the All Blacks touring to South Africa and stuff. So he's got sort of 20 years of politicking behind him as well. So it's kind of a perfect song for Greenpeace to use.
And maybe after this, we're going to return to both Chris Knox and Don McGlashan because one of my absolute favorites. Well, we'll talk about it in a minute.
Yeah.
In a minute. If I can get this bloody thing to work. No, maybe I won't be able to get it to work and then we won't be able to do it.
Maybe you have to click on the link and play it on the next one.
Oh, well. Okay, I'm going to. The link's not working. So instead, I'm going to segue seamlessly to a cover that I thought was really interesting, which was the Beast Wars covers series for the most recent album. And one of the things that I love is that they did interviews with all of the original artists. They interviewed, the name escapes me, but from The Skeptics and...
Oh, yeah, Nick from The Skeptics.
Ruffin. And the Julia Deans interview is particularly interesting. So we're going to play... this one.
I don't think I've ever really heard somebody cover one of my songs before, except for like the occasional busker playing Lydia, which I actually love. So I'm really excited to hear it.
I hope you like it. I'm very nervous.
Interpretation of the riff. Matt's
singing's
awesome.
What's We Light Fire about?
I actually wrote it not long after my grandfather passed away. It was quite a character. He was an artist, but when he was young, he'd served in the military in World War II, and he's one of New Zealand's two official war artists, him and Peter McIntyre. He ended up getting captured in Crete and spent nearly 5 years as a POW, just being moved around Europe. As a POW, he would do portraits of the, you know, generals and prisoners of war, but he'd trade portraits for painting materials, and so then they'd send a whole lot of stuff back home, which was amazing because I don't think you'd get that in war now. He's quite an inspirational man, and it was funny too, like after I released my first album, he wrote me this beautiful letter just saying, you know, dude, I'm very proud of you and I do love your songs. I just wish, you know, I think maybe with your next bunch of songs, maybe you can write something a little bit more uplifting. I guess I took that to heart and wrote that song.
That is the best answer I was not expecting to hear in family history. That's amazing.
Around the time that he passed away, I'd been reading about humanity in general, and there's this kind of list of things that are common to every single civilization. One of those things was the lighting of fire. And particularly to celebrate and to mourn and to, you know, to come together and cook food. Yes. You know, just things that bring us together, and so that's kind of, that's the long story of that song is about. It's just the things that make us equal, you know, that we all share.
There we go. That is a segment from the interview with Julia Deans, conducted by Nato from Beast Wars, talking about their cover of Julia Deans' song, We Light Fire. Actually, the interview is really interesting. I don't know if you covered all of that, but...
Yeah, that's it's on the Audio Culture page if you want an easy way to find it. But yeah, that Beast Wars album, they did quite a few covers. They did like Nadia Reid, and that Julia Deans one I like though, because the riff is kind of like doo-doo-doo. It's like got a like lilting kind of quality to the acoustic guitar on it, even though it's really quiet. And they just turn it into this kind of off kilter, sort of grungy sludge metal kind of you can feel the similar rhythm, but even though they haven't sped it up, they've just kind of made it even more sort of slightly off and dark. And I sort of thought as well, it's a great choice for a cover because it's so elemental. You know, We Light Fire, it's about that central sort of humanity of people. And so for a like sludge metal band, it seems like that elemental kind of light fire thing fits with the metal thing really well. So that's why I thought that one stood out on the album, even though the Nutty Reed one and the Skeptics ones are cool on there. It's a cool, interesting album.
I think it's one of those things that we were talking about, which is the perfect example of how you can take a song that sounds so different, take the basis of it or the bones of it or the tune of it, and turn it into something quite different that maintains something elemental, if you will, from the original. And I think that that's always what I find that I respond to in covers.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have this, you know, with sampling in the 90s, there was a whole challenge of like, how much is someone just stealing a hook from a song and putting it on another song, and how much are they doing something creative, like someone versus like De La Soul, the way you cut up little elements, or like Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique, versus the ones which were just like, you know, some Puff Daddy song where it was the hook of a Police song and not much had been done to it. They just grabbed the vocal hook because he liked it and he just had another massive hit with it.
I mean,
so it's always cool to see some creativity for sure.
I mean, people who listen to the Plato's Retreat cover show might beg to differ, because we've played some pretty shocking acid house remixes of Walk on the Wild Side or a big beat version of Careless Whisper, but you know, it's all in fun.
I remember being shocked when the Clean, Flying Nun put out a Clean cover, and I remember Beta Cell just sampled one sound from this original song and just made this intense, deep sort of housey techno song. And it was like, what? This has got nothing to do with, like, this is meant to be a song, like, an album, like, in respect of the Clean, but you're just like, you know, especially in those days, though, you know, they were cutting dance music songs up by hand, like programming each beat or whatever. So it's probably like, I can't redo a Clean song. I'm just going to do what I do.
I'll do something else.
Some respect to that.
We've had a text in and say Bloodbags covering The Henchman, Zenith Reptile. That is their favorite and the one that they would like to request. We mentioned Chris Knox earlier, and the covers album that sticks out to me in terms of like fantastic New Zealand music covers is the Stroke Chris Knox cover album. It is just absolutely full of both local and international groups doing such a good job on an incredible back catalogue.
Yeah, you can actually like listen to it from start to finish start as to well. Finish. They really do, like, even though some are a bit heavier, some are a bit lighter, they just, it's track listed quite well, so it feels like a real album. There's like such crazy big acts on there, like the guy from Mountain Goats, I think, and the guy from Smog and things like that, and then all the local groups all the way from like even the Czechs to like one of his early Toy Love songs, and that's great. And it just kind of weirdly suits, they just picked a good song for them. But
I loved it because I remember when it came out, seeing the international acts and recognizing what an impact Chris Knox had had internationally in terms of songwriting, and it really blew me away. The song that I noticed didn't make it, I mean, you include, which song from Stroke do you include? I believe it's the Mint Chicks.
Yeah, I went for the easy option. It was just, I listened to it all and I was like, this is good. I mean, everyone, especially on BFM, we all just suck up to the Mint Chicks because they were like great, but I should have dug a bit deeper maybe.
I hate to disappoint you, Gareth, but I'm going to push back and I'm going to play my absolute favourite, maybe my favourite New Zealand cover of a New Zealander covering a New Zealander, a Kiwi covering a Kiwi. If you'd like to see Gareth's 10 tracks, you can go to Audio Culture and check out 10 Kiwis covering Kiwis. This is Don McGlashan covering Inside Story.
Awesome.
By Chris Knox. It's one of my favourites. Thank you so much, Gareth, for coming in.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. And keep telling us why we're wrong on the Audio Culture Facebook page or text it in.
That's right. Text it
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Faces in front of me, magazines full of fabulous beauty queens. How could you think I'm not obscene? Meet, 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 meet. Look at me, saggy, baggy, and 5'3". How could he ever want to look twice at me? How could you love the likes of me? Me, 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 me. So I stay inside these walls and hide myself away. Day after day I stare at my TV and hope and pray that my poor flesh will melt, 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 flow. What I'm going through. Look at you, you're so pretty, you know it's true. You're so lucky the way you grew. You. I can't bear to have my face and body seen out there. You all stare, I want to shrivel up and disappear. Destiny, beep, 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 beep. Save your tears. I've lived with this for all my fading years. It's very clear that some of us were never meant to share our ugliness with you. You walk out. to the world and know. Growing on mirrors grow.
On 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just fascination.